All right. Well, let me say hello to everybody on all of our campuses today. We actually have all six campuses online with us today. So y'all, let's give a little word of greeting to everybody on all of our campuses. Let's thank God for each other. All right. Awesome. 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 Now, this has been an amazing couple of weeks. You know, every now and then you see something that makes you just think, you know what, this is actually going to work. And it kind of pumps you up. And last weekend, I had that feeling about our church. You know, for the last 2 weeks, we've grappled with something that most churches talk about, but very few churches actually do anything about it with the kind of determination that I've seen here over the last couple weeks. And we've been talking about changing the world in the name of Jesus and making a difference for Christ in Savannah and Rankin and Midway and Statesboro and Africa and Asia and Europe and South America. And last weekend, you know, we asked you to make a faith promise to fund our international ministries by giving something in addition to your regular giving that you would designate specifically for global outreach so that we can prevail as a church here and there and way out there and everywhere. And friends, by God's grace, your love for God and your compassion for the world caused a wave of generosity to break over our church. And last weekend, we committed over $1,600,000 to give away, to reach the world, to bless the poor, to take the gospel everywhere. Praise the Lord, man. That's awesome. Awesome. Now, that figure represents about 10% of our church budget, which we're given in addition to our church budget. And usually about 15% of our missions pledges come in this weekend after people have had a chance to pray about it and think about it. And so I'm confident that $1.6 million is going to go up. But that kind of compassion and commitment makes me think, you know what? This church is actually working. We are actually going to serve the Lord in our generation and mark our world in the name of Jesus. Amen? We're going to do it. This is amazing. Now, this is Vision Week for our church. Every year, right before Thanksgiving, we take some time and celebrate what God did last year, and then we look forward to the vision we believe He has for next year, and that's what we're going to do this week. So if you're a guest, you picked a great time to visit because you're going to get kind of a backstage tour of what God has been doing over the last year and what we're going to look at in the future, and it would take you a long time to get that kind of comprehensive view of our ministry, even if you roll in here every week like most of us do. And so this is going to be great. Let me show you my cards early. Today, I want to talk about a big celebration of some kingdom wins, a big change. I need you to get your head around. It's not really that big, but I need you to get your head around that. And a big challenge that I need you to get your game face on for. Because I'm going to challenge you to get all hands on deck. I'm not going to ask for a thing from you. I want to give something to you. But we need everybody in. Everybody. Now, before we start the big celebration, I want to ask you to turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, this is on page 912 if you're looking at one of the blue Bibles we provide at all of our worship centers. Acts chapter 4 is a statement that is typical of a number of summary statements in the book of Acts that the writer would give after every big win, after every big change, after every big challenge had been overcome. Because here's why I want to do this. Sometimes when you come to church and you hear a message like you're going to hear today, if you're cynical, and many of us are cynical, you might think, well, shoot, they're just bragging about how great their church is. And friends, we love this church, but if you think that's what we're doing, you'd like 180 degrees thinking in the wrong direction. The purpose of this is to affirm how great our God is and what a privilege it is to know He's working through us. Amen? Now, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit led the first century followers of Jesus to do this kind of celebration over and over and over again. And Acts chapter 4, verse 32 is just one example of that. So turn and look there with me. This is typical of five different summary statements about big wins in the New Testament church. This particular one came after the church was persecuted. The pastors were arrested, thrown in jail, tortured, threatened. If you keep preaching this message, we will kill you. And they said, you decide whether we should obey you or God. We're going to obey the Lord. Bring it. And then the Lord stepped in. Persecution went away. The pastors were released. Praise the Lord. Verse 32 says, all the believers were united in heart and mind. Persecution actually works against the devil and for the Lord. Every time you persecute the church, it gets stronger. It gets more unified. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. Even under pressure, they showed epic generosity that was motivated by a compassion that was compelled by Christ. And with great power, the apostles, that's the preachers, continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Listen, people in that community were being changed by the gospel. Those guys were standing up, preaching the truth straight up, telling the truth when it was risky to do so, and they did not blink. And God blessed that. Now, I say all of this just to say it was a New Testament policy to stop every now and then and just celebrate what God is doing. And so for the next few minutes, I want us to just stop and let's have a big celebration of what God did in 2017. Now, as you know, we are one church that meets in six different locations. And today, downtown campus is worshiping with us via virtual teaching. Y'all, let's welcome our downtown campus. Glad to have you guys with us today, man. Awesome. Love you guys. Now, we are one church that meets in six different locations, and this past year, we finished up a season of facility development that has provided exciting new spaces for all of our campuses, and this is our first full year in all those spaces. We have new children's and student space at the East Campus, at Effingham, and out in Statesboro. I don't have to tell you that Jesus has a special place in his heart for little people and lost people. And man, as soon as we open those spaces up, dude, they started filling up. We also have worship spaces out at Henderson, where we are right here, and our East Campus, Statesboro, Midway, and downtown. Our East Campus added another 70 to 80 seats back here, 70 to 80, depending on how healthy those worshipers are. I'm not sure you can get 70 my size in there because the arms are so big, you know, that would really block off a little bit, but you're right. Delusional. But anyhow, man, they opened them up. They got about almost 500 seats at the East Campus for worship now, which is awesome. Now, with their children's space and worship space, they are literally poised to increase their footprint out on the east side of town all the way out to the islands. They just hosted a community event out there, had hundreds and hundreds of people visit with them who had never been on campus before, maxed out. This is the aerial view. This is the East Campus over here. This is our friends at another church. The East Campus maxed out all their parking and might have maxed out all their parking too, but let's not say anything about that, all right? It was just a great, great day and a great opportunity for ministry. Our Statesboro campus operationalized a new facility last October. They have a much larger worship space, children's space. Last year, literally in the last 12 months, they have doubled the impact of that church and that community. Now, ironically, they've had a ton of staff turnover since moving into that new building. And Harrison, our pastor out there, believes that the turnover has actually served to increase their trust in God. And many, many high caliber volunteers have just stepped up to fill the gap. And so the church doubled in size with most of the pastor positions open. Which, Harvey, maybe that's a new cost savings opportunity for us. We just won't hire pastors, let the volunteers do it. They seem to be doing a better job than the pastors anyway. Now, here's a great story. This is Marley King. Marley was a ninth grader when we launched Compassion Christian out in Statesboro. She helped us literally set up and tear down at Mill Creek Elementary School when we started out there. She was one of the first people to give her life to Christ and be baptized at the new campus. She served as an intern at our Statesboro campus while she was attending Georgia Southern, and now she's serving on staff there, which means that God is still calling people right out of his church to serve his church, just like the book of Acts. Can I hear an amen? It's awesome. It's awesome, right? Our downtown campus relocated from the Lucas Theater to the Savannah Theater last year, and their new campus pastor, Grant Roskoviak, has settled in. Man, Grant's doing an awesome job out there. The ministry is just rocking it, but they have to set up and tear down every week at the Savannah Theater, which is a ton of work, and I'm praying that God will provide us with a full-time facility so we can have service down there 7 days a week instead of 1 day a week. And I'm praying that the Lord will provide us with a place soon. And if you happen to own some property downtown that you want to donate to the kingdom of God, come talk to me, all right? Come talk to me. We're praying about this, praying for you. In the meantime, I'm so thankful to hear about these two women from our downtown campus. You know, Sheila and Michelle, their hearts were so moved by compassion for refugees in our community that they started volunteering at Hope Academy, which is one of our ministries on 37th Street. They're teaching English to refugees from all over the world, literally teaching little kids. Now, notice the post-it notes here. This is how you say I in English and knee and foot and all that kind of stuff. They're teaching people who are literally from all over the world. Afghanistan, Myanmar, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, Sudan, Syria, Turkey. They are sharing the love of Christ with these refugees right here in our city. Now, our Henderson campus, thriving in this new worship environment. It's awesome. We've got lots of new people coming. We've got room for a lot more people to come. And praise the Lord, because there is so much residential development that's starting literally across the street from our Henderson campus. We did not get this building built a moment too soon. Out in Effingham, our Effingham campus is our most space-challenged campus at the moment. They are over 90% full every Sunday morning at each service, 50% full on Wednesday nights, which is great, but they're going to have to add services in January to address that challenge, and they will do that. Effingham also went through a leadership change this year. Our campus pastor out there left us, and so after a season of prayer and due diligence, we believe that Marcus Johnson, the founding student pastor at Effingham, was the perfect leader to take the Effingham campus into the future. And so Marcus, a son of Compassion Christian, became the campus pastor in the first quarter of this year. And man, that was just a godsend to have him step up. Now, you know that Statesboro, East Effingham, and Midway are all video campuses. They get the message by virtual teaching over video every week. And we've had to work through some terrible transmission problems starting Super Bowl weekend of this year. Apparently, Super Bowl weekend smoked our internet bandwidth provider. Caused all kind of complications, breakdowns, sermons stopping in the middle, pastors having to get up and finish a message on adultery, which is a little awkward. A lot of really anxious battlefield promotions, you know, because of that technical difficulty. I want to show you some of the craziness that we have had to put up with, you know, with this video projection problem. Now, I'm going to show you a video of our Effingham campus, and one of our tech guys is going to be sitting here. And then up at the left-hand corner is the screen where my message comes across on Sunday mornings and Wednesday. And so you just watch what happens with this guy and watch the screen. This is the big thing. And you'll hear our tech director, Bill Gross, crying in the background. Anyway, so here we go. Y'all ready?
This is a weird show.
This is March 16th, 2017 at 9:27 a.m. Eastern time.
Now watch this right here.
This is impossible. What? Sit down. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. What?
Don't you wish, if you're here at Henderson, don't you wish you could stop the sermon that easy? Just then. Forget about it. It ain't gonna happen, y'all. But I'm telling you, we had such crazy technical problems out there that we sent our prayer team out to Effingham to pray over the building. And apparently at work, between them and our tech guys, they got it all sorted out. Hadn't had a single problem for 6 months until last weekend. But anyway, let's talk about that. Our Midway campus is an exciting story. On September 11th last year, we took a church that was donated to us, renovated it, teched it up, rolled it out as our sixth campus, Compassion Christian Midway. That campus has gone from about an average of 20 people worshiping there to 373 in 12 months. Yeah, amazing. Love you guys. Amazing. Because of a hearty group of Compassion Christians under the leadership of John Mark Romans, and then the folks that 20 people stuck around. Now listen, that campus is 22 miles from the Henderson campus, 14 miles from the front gate of Fort Stewart. We think there's an amazing opportunity to minister to people from all over the world on that Army base, but also all the way down the coast, Sunbury, Belvedere, Townsend, all the way down to Sapelo Island. But here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that people will hear that this little church that was stuck wanted to see God use that property in a great way one more time. And so they donated that property to our church and then joined our church so that we could relaunch that ministry as a part of our church. And they experienced a 15-fold increase in 12 months. Do you know how many ministries we could help restore around the Lowcountry if people had the humility to ask for that kind of help? 20 to 400 in 12 months. God is good. Anybody want to say amen?
Amen?
It's awesome, man. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good. Now, here's the bottom line. Because of the audacious faith that you have demonstrated and the amazing generosity that you have demonstrated over the last 3 years, we have six facilities with new or greatly expanded buildings and 100% more space for worship than we had 2 years ago. That's a pretty good run. Now, to accomplish all of this, our debt peaked at $43 million. Anybody want to say, ouch? Yeah, yeah. And because of your generosity and your giving through the One campaign, we paid off over $22 million of that in the last 36 months. That's amazing. That's amazing. Now today, we have $20 million in debt. Anybody want to say, still, ouch? Yeah, yeah. But we have $90 million worth of facilities all across our region that will enable us to serve the Lord for the next 100 years and double the impact of our ministry in the next 5 years. And that's the goal. That's the goal. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, $20 million is a lot of debt, but listen, if you had a $90,000 house and you only owed $20,000 on it, I bet you'd feel good about that. And you should. And your church should too. Amen? Now, honestly, doing all this construction and expansion in a 3-year period has been a tough run. But this effort has poised us to make a huge difference in the faith of our community and our world because we did. And I think that is a huge win for the kingdom. Now, let's talk about some other wins that we had this past year. Internationally, as you know, the One Campaign funded construction of schools in Austria, Poland, Ghana, an orphanage in India, worship center in Rwanda, ministry facilities for the kingdom of God that they would never have been able to help build without help from people just like you. That is win, 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 win. Amen? In addition, our global outreach team has continued to partner with some of the most incredible leaders in the world, and you met a bunch of them over just the last couple weeks. Now, friends, our partnership with these noble folks is making a huge difference in the lives of people around the world. For example, look at this. This is a community garden that you enabled in a little village called Mondoro in Zimbabwe. We first visited that property in 2007. When I got there, it was a bare, flat piece of fruitless ground, too dry to do anything with. And we went from that property over to a little school where I met these beautiful children who were ashy around the nose and mouth because they were so malnourished that their bodies didn't have enough nutrients to produce the oils to keep their skin healthy. And we decided on that trip, we're going to adopt that community. And we're going to feed every kid in Mondoro a nourishing meal every single day. We feed them cornmeal and collards. Dude, I'm from South Carolina. What'd y'all expect, right? And a vitamin drink. You know what it costs us? $1 a kid a month. Now, this is one of those little girls that we met in 2009. Here she is in 2013. Here is this beautiful woman in 2017 holding an ear of corn that her parents were able to grow because of you. Growing their own food, feeding themselves. Look at these two little guys in 2013. Here they are again in 2017, growing up, healthy, educated, strong, love the Lord. Look at Dave Stewart and this little guy in 2013. And then in 2017, look how both of these little boys have grown. <That's right. laughs> Now, friends, your giving has enabled us to buy that field. Our church drilled a well there so they had fresh water for the first time that they didn't have to walk 3 miles to the river and then boil the water in order to drink it. In fact, our church has drilled 30 wells in Zimbabwe for fresh water in the last 10 years. And look, man, because the people of that village took responsibility and they worked hard and they worked that land, we paid to install a solar-powered drip irrigation system to help the crops grow even with greater strength. One of the farmers told Dave when he was there a few months ago, he said, you know what, we love this drip irrigation. Back when we just had the well, I would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and water every one of our plants with a 5-gallon bucket. Now that we have this, I can sleep in. I don't have to be in the field until 6 a.m. As a farmer right there, you know. But here's the thing. Your generosity is not only supplying land and wells and food, but dignity. Dignity. Man, with the Lord's blessing, these guys believe I can work, I can produce, I can provide for my family and then have something to give so I can help other people. Man, it's amazing that the work we're doing in Africa is not just helping the physical body, but the mind and heart and soul and spirit of these people. Interestingly, one of the problems that they have to deal with is success. You know, we gave them a bunch of chickens, you know, so they'd have meat and eggs, and the chickens have proliferated so much because of the blessing of the Lord that now they're eating up all the plants in the garden. And then Dave's over there, and he sees them, you know, trying to weave these little bump fences out of what we would call broom straw, and that don't work. I mean, chickens know how to deal with that. And so David said, why don't you get some chicken wire and put it around this garden? And Denford, our guy over there, said, we'd love to, but man, this is a 6-acre garden. Put a 6-foot chicken wire fence around 6 acres. That would cost us, wow, super expensive. It would be like $1,000. They're like, a whole $1,000? We'll buy it. Our church will pay for it. Order the fence. And when Denver told these folks that our church was going to pay for that fence, this is what happened. Play the video for me, guys. Okay, stop it before Dave starts dancing, because we know he can't dance, all right? You know what the words of this song are? Grace has come to us today. Not rich Americans have come to bail us out, but grace. We give all of this through the ministry over there, so we don't get the credit for it. God gets the credit for it. Amen? Man, that's how we do it. We're not just spraying money around in Africa and Asia and Europe and the Americas hoping to do some good. Listen, this is a spreadsheet of all of our mission interests listed there for 2018, how much we give, who we give to, where it goes, what it produced last year. This is the grid that our team uses to evaluate every mission we support every year, the level of stewardship that our investment represents, whether they're gaining ground or just sitting on it. We evaluate everything every year. But here's the point. Because of your generosity, we're able to help people who are coming to Jesus, and they're working hard, and they're feeling blessed because they do, and God is getting all the glory, win, win, win. Amen? Now, there's so much to celebrate. I don't have time. I don't even have time to tell you about the growing number of people who worship with us every week. Man, our attendance went up 8% last year. Man, all of your commitments to the One Campaign are paying off. Praise the Lord. I don't have time to tell you about the 27,000 people who came to the Journey last Christmas at our new Henderson facility. Man, how they lined up all the way through the building, all the way down the hallway, out on the sidewalk, waiting to hear the Christmas story. Love to tell you about it. Don't have time. I'd love to tell you about the 81,000 people who were led to Jesus last year because of our work here and around the world. Praise the Lord. 300 churches planted internationally. Money that you donated to send people on mission trips that you might not have been able to take yourself. Man, I wish I had time to show you just the pictures of the people in our community who put their faith in Jesus this year and then publicly declared that faith by being baptized into Him. I wish I had time to talk about how our family is moving from spectators to participators. You know, last year we had 43% of the people who come to Compassion volunteering and serving. This year we have 52%. It's moving in the right direction. Last year we had 32% of our adults in life groups every week. This year we have 42%. Still got a long way to go, but we're moving in the right direction. I wish I could tell you about the difference our church has made, helping people after Hurricane Matthew last year and after Hurricane Irma this year. I mean, look at this picture. This is one of our volunteers. This is Liz. She's a section host. There she is. Liz, just give us a little wave there. Liz is on the front page of the Atlanta Journal when they talk about the storm hitting Savannah and how Compassion Christian Church people help people in that hard time. But I don't have time to talk about that. I wish I could tell you about the 1,200 children in our community in the Chatham County school system that we provide food for every week because of our PAC ministry at the East Campus. And let me tell you, that's coming to Henderson soon. And I'm thankful, but I don't have time to talk about it. I wish I could tell you about Pivot, you know, our men's conference that filled this room up with men of every color, every ethnicity, from every church, churches all over our community. Daryl Strawberry spoke for it. I wish I could tell you about Camp in the City for our children, our middle and high school camp, and our Welcome to Compassion lunches that we're going to have next week to welcome new people into our family. Don't have time to talk about that either. I wish I had time to tell you that Dave Ramsey is coming to our church on January the 7th. Dave has got the second largest radio talk show in America, because people are desperate to learn about biblical financial principles that every kid in our church is being taught in children's church right now. I wish I could tell you about the Lighthouse and, you know, the 1,000 people a month, poor people in our community that we help every month. I wish I could talk to you about my plan to disciple 1,000 men over the next 10 years. I'm going to personally disciple 1,000 men. And if you're interested, ask me about it. I'll tell you how you can help. I wish I had time to talk to you about how humble I am that God provided us with these amazing facilities, and yet, every year, the thing we invest in the most is not tools, but ministry investments. I like the way we spend money around here. Let me just finish by saying, We need to celebrate the fact that the hand of God is on our church. And he's using our church to make a difference in our world and our generation. I feel like the prophet Ezra, back in the Old Testament, who was so blessed when he was building the ministry of the temple, that he said, the gracious hand of our God is upon us. And his hand is upon our church. And we ought to thank him for that. Let's give God thanks for the gracious way he's blessed our church here and around the world this year. Awesome, 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 awesome. All right, big celebration. We got a lot to celebrate. So let's talk for a minute about a big change that's coming in 2018. Matter of fact, coming next week, okay? It's not a big thing, but I want you to know what we're doing and why we're doing it. Next week, we're going to change the way we take up the offering in our services. Now, in our first Sunday service on February the 9th, 1964, we received the offering in a very simple way. We had this basket that we just passed around, and committed people put their tithe right there. Now, not everybody put anything in the offering basket, but everybody who loved Jesus did. Can I get an amen? I'm just kidding. Not everybody here loves Jesus. Not everybody here today loves Jesus. Some of us just checking him out, and that's good. We're glad you're here. We've been praying for you to come. But if you're committed to Christ, you know love forces you to support what you love. I mean, everybody that's healthy does that. Now, a few years after our church started in 1984, 20 years later, when I became the pastor of the church, we received our offering in two ways. 80% would come in baskets when we passed them on Sunday morning. 20% would come in through the mail. I mean, it's crazy, man. We had people who would have their accountant send a check, or, you know, some foundation would send a check, or deployed soldiers down in Honduras would send a check so that their tithe would continue to serve their church. And so our income came in those two channels. A few years ago with internet banking, wow, the percentage that came in through the mail just skyrocketed. And now with the ability to give online and give through our app, most of our giving comes in electronically. Man, that's how I give, and I love it. Now, I always used to love to put my check in the offering place because it's so tactile, and I want to do it with a check so my boys would see me do it, and they would know their old man is committed to the kingdom, and brother, we don't play. But you know, now that they're out, what I love about online giving is literally the first dollar that comes out of my account every week goes to my Lord. I can literally do what the Bible says, give the first fruits of all of my income to the Lord, because with online banking, he is the first person I pay every week. Listen, I might short somebody else, but it ain't gonna be shorting the Lord. Amen? Now, also, if I'm in Africa on a mission trip, or if I'm out in Montana seeing Sarah's people out there, my tithe hits the ledger of heaven right on time every week, no matter where I am, and that's the way I like it. Now, because the majority of our people give online, when we pass this basket, sometimes it will go 3 or 4 or 5 rows and there ain't a thing in it, which gives newcomers a false impression of our church. I mean, they look at that basket and go, well, nobody else is giving. I don't guess I'll be giving either. When really, this is a hyper-generous church, as you've already seen today. So next week, we're going to change things up a bit. Our executive pastor, Harvey Breen, my buddy, has worked hard to help me come up with a solution, and here it is. At the end of the service, we're going to receive our offering. Come on, here we go. We're going to receive our offering and celebrate how God is using our generosity to change the world. And if you just like to give it right here, we're going to provide these offering boxes in multiple locations at every campus so that you will have a place to give. All right? There. Thank you, Vanna. Appreciate that. Thank you. All right, great. Now, what's interesting is back in the New Testament, this is actually how people gave. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, and if you don't, read Luke 21. Jesus was standing in the temple by the offering box, and this little lady comes in and drops 2 coins in. You remember what happened? She dropped those coins in, and Jesus said, "What? Did you see that?" And everybody said, "See what? That woman. She just gave everybody here. All the rest of these jokers had given out of their excess. She gave her last 2 cents. Me and my Father are going to take care of her. We're going to take care of her." Now, if you don't believe it, read it for yourself, Luke chapter 21. But she gave, she dropped those coins in an offering box. Now, this is going to be a little bit different. Might take a while to get used to, but friends, every week at the end of the service, we are going to celebrate how God is using our love to bless our community, and then you can drop your offering in right here, and God will be glorified, and you will be blessed. And if you just hate this idea, and you just got to complain about it, you want to register a complaint, we've set up a website that you can send your message to. And it's right here, www.harveysfault.com. Just send it right here, and I'm sure he'll get right back to you, all right? Now, that's the big change. It's not really that big, but it's a big change in the way we've done things. And I think when you see how we do it, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. All right, finally, here's the big challenge. When Sarah and I got back from our break this summer, I could not believe what was waiting on us. She had been subpoenaed to testify in a criminal case downtown, and they left a subpoena with the receptionist at the front desk of our church. And she was like, Cam, what's this all about? I was like, baby, don't worry about it. You can't serve a subpoena to a receptionist. They got to give it to you personally or it doesn't even count. Forget about it. Well, she's a rule keeper, and she didn't forget about it, and she's all worse. So I'm like, baby, let me handle this. I called that attorney up, and I said, hey, dude, my wife is busy. It didn't count anyway because you didn't give it to her. He said, who are you? I said, well, I'm her husband. He said, what's your name? Cam Huxley. He said, well, I got a subpoena for you, too. We'll be right over. And I was like, go, go, you know? So we both end up at the courthouse to testify in this horrible domestic violence case. People from our church. Husband lost it. Attacked his wife in front of the kids, made some horrible threats. Kids pulled him off, called the cops. They came, arrested him, took him to jail. Which, by the way, is the way it's supposed to work. If anybody brutalizes you, call the police. You don't have the courage to do that, call me. I'll call the police. That's how it's supposed to work. Anyway, while we're downtown waiting to testify, there's another Compassion Christian there who's also been subpoenaed. And he said, Pastor, this whole mess is about financial stress. I'm like, what? He said, I'm telling you. The frustration, the spiritual backsliding, the breakup of that marriage, the loss of testimony, the loss of freedom, the loss of that family. These are my friends. It all goes back to toxic, unaddressed financial stress. And when he said that, my mind went back to the most stressful financial season of my life. It was when my Sarah have been diagnosed with cancer. This is 20 years ago. She's doing great. She's a little sassy, but I like that. So anyway, you know, she's doing great, right? But I mean, when she was diagnosed with cancer and we started that treatment, dude, doctor bills, surgery, treatments, couldn't keep up with the bills. Right in the middle of all that, her dad died out in California after her fourth chemo treatment. And people here at the church helped us get to California, for which I will be eternally grateful. But I'm telling you, through that whole thing, man, the credit cards got maxed out. Bills kept going up, 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 up. I mean, people calling. I never felt that kind of pressure in my life. Dude, financial stress is a monster. And I mean, me and Sarah love each other. And it wasn't dumb debt. It was crisis debt. But apparently, bill collectors don't know the difference. That debt was a monster. I thought, you know, what do people do who aren't a team like we are? I mean, they have so much dumb, just consumer debt that they are ashamed to talk about it. They don't know how to control it. They don't know where to go for help. They don't even know what doing it right looks like because their parents did the same dumb thing when they were growing up. And then you lose a job, or you go to a divorce, and those bill collectors start making threatening phone calls all the time. Man, we started praying about this initiative that I'm getting ready to tell you about a year ago, praying and planning a year ago. But when I was sitting in that courthouse thinking about the monster of financial frustration, I realized we got to do something about this. We can do something about this, and we are going to do something about this. If this horror story, I mean, a man abusing his wife in front of his kid, happened to members of our church who know the Lord. They know how to pray. They know where to find help. What in the world must facing that monster be like for people who don't know the Lord and don't have a church and don't even know how to pray to God? Let me show you the grim reality that I look at every week. This is the reality of life in America. This slide represents us. Now, we may be a little bit better off here at church because we're smarter than the average bear because we know the Lord. But this is how it is in America. 70% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Literally, your checks are going through the bank, holding hands for dear life. If a crisis occurs, transmission goes out, refrigerator breaks down, you in a mess. 16% already in a mess. Already in a mess. I mean, upside down, no savings, no margin at all, no emergency fund, on the brink of bankruptcy if you haven't filed already once. 2%, worse than bankrupt. You know, because of the way the world can just pile on you when you're down, and then the yelling, hollering, fighting, crazy stuff starts. 2%, on the other hand, here at the church, nailing it. Millionaires, baby. Got it. Everything's cool. Inherited the money. Made the money. Doing great. Praise the Lord. Awesome. 10% of the people, you know, in our church, people in our community, smart. Money smart. They know how to handle money. They don't get in dumb debt. They get stronger every month because they're tithing and they got the blessing of God on their finances and they manage their money smart. They don't let their money manage them. Now think about this. Think about what this means. Look at this. Look at us. 78% of the people around you. When there's a hurricane, a need, a crisis, and they want to help, can't. Because they don't have the money to help. They don't have anything to help with. They want to, but they mortgaged their ability to help to a credit card company years ago. I have a lawyer friend here in Savannah who has done more marriage counseling than most of the pastors I know. He says 90% of the divorces he sees is over financial stress. 90% over incompetence in how you handle money. It's a monster. Now, there's a way to make this monster listen, but it ain't easy. But it is effective. And we've been doing it right here at our church for years. We teach a class called Financial Peace University. Say it with me, everybody. Financial Peace University, that basically boils all that the Bible says about managing your money smart into a 9-week class. Everybody I know who has gone through that class all the way to the end and put it into play has found financial freedom. Everybody who has completed that class. So friends, because I am sick to death of seeing this financial monster reduce our families to financial fear, I want to challenge everybody in our church to take this class together in the first 9 weeks of 2018. No standing ovation? Seriously? Oh, no. No sympathy clapping. Forget that. I don't use sympathy. You know what? You're in a clap. You know when you're going, oh, crud. You know why you think of that? Because you need it the most. You need it the most. So I'm going to ask all of us, everybody, every family, every single person, every kid, everybody, even if you've taken it before, take it again so you can help somebody else. Even if you're in that 2%, you're a millionaire and you're rich, dude, you're the one who needs to be lead one of our groups. Because people know you're nailing it and they look at you and go, wow, if he believes in this, maybe I'll do it too. We want to do the whole church all together, first 9 weeks, 2018. Friends, we're going to have 100 different classes. They'll be here at church, so there's childcare. They'll be here in the afternoon, so there's childcare. They'll be here in the evenings, so there's childcare. Every day of the week on every campus, 100 opportunities. There is just no excuse for godly people to not understand how God wants us to manage our family's money. And this class is not about you giving to the church. It's about managing what God has put in your hands. We don't expect anything from you. We want to give a gift to you. So as a church family, we're going to learn how to live like nobody else. So we'll be able to live like nobody else with peace, joy, and the ability to help when we want to. Now, every class at Compassion in the first 9 weeks of 2018, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, every small group, every student small group, every children's small group, everyone will be about Financial Peace University. We're going to go through this thing together. Now, this course costs $85 for a household. $40, now listen, we knocked this price down from $120 to $85, and so we beat them down on that, and we're not taking any money at all. You get this stuff from Financial Peace University. We got them down to $40 if you're a widow or a single parent. We're going to have scholarships for people who have a hardship with this. Many of us who've been through Financial Peace and have been blessed by it, I'm going to buy 4, 5, 6, 7 kits so that our church can just give them away or partially give them away to people who are in need, because I've been through it. I know how much it will help. But I'm telling you now, so that you don't have to think a whole lot about Christmas shopping, this is what you can give each other for Christmas this year, right here. Everybody with me? Go, Pastor's saving me some money, right? You know it. Oh, no, you're not participating anymore? Is that how it is? All right, think about this. Finances are a monster that you can make listen to you. And if that monster is not listening right now, it's because you don't know how to make it listen. So start saving your money. This is easy. You can start saving up for this right now. If you say, Pastor, I don't have anywhere to do that. If you just skip three meals a week, you notice I'm not laughing. You skip three meals a week for the next, 8 weeks. And some of y'all could use skipping a few meals. I'm just saying, I'm one of them. You'll be able to pay for this thing. But we're going to learn how to do this together. Now, this is going to be fun. Kind of. All right? It's going to hurt so good. That's what I'm saying. But we are going to free ourselves up and live with the peace that many people have never known before. But it's got to start by learning how to make this monster listen. And I am praying that everybody in our church, whether you go to church here or not, will get in on this, because I'm telling you, if you figure this out, it will change your life. So whether you're old, we want you in. If you're young, we want you in. If you're so deep in debt you don't know how to talk about it, we want you in. If you're so flush you got money to burn, we want you in. We want everybody in so we can all do this together as a family. Now, friends, you can register in the lobby at all of our campuses today. Anybody in a monster shirt can help you. When you walk out, you'll see these little monster shirts. Roy, stand up here so everybody can see what your shirt looks like, bro. Come on. He's rocking it. There he is, a monster model. There he is. Thank you, Roy. Appreciate it, bro. These folks are on every campus today. Now, listen, you can do this. You can register online. You can register our website. You can do it at the Compassion Christian app. You can do it at Connecting Point. Just look for anybody with a monster shirt, and they will be able to help you out. Now, friends, we can do this. And we need to do it. We're not doing this for me. You're not doing it for the church. You're doing this for you. I am tired of going to court and hospitals and funeral homes because people let this monster eat them alive. You don't have to. And if you do, it will not be because your church did not make every effort to equip you. So play ball. Cowboy up. Let's do this thing. We've talked today about how God is blessing our church. He's doing it here and around the world. Let him do it for you. Humble yourself and let him do it for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time you've given us to be together. Thank you, Lord, for this amazing church you've let us be a part of. This is your church, Lord. Jesus is the pastor. Everybody else just works for him. And I just pray, God, that what we've seen happen in the past will be eclipsed, Lord, by the great things that you have envisioned for us in the future. And I pray, God, that we will humble ourselves and lean into your direction and let you reshape our lives in a way that bless us and honor you. And we pray this in Jesus' strong name.